about I would bet, though I'm not a betting man, I'm not talking about gambling or anything like that, but I would bet that Allison and I were the first two people up this morning here today. And here's why. And I'm not talking about maybe you stayed up past midnight. That doesn't count. You were up from the day before. But waking up, I would bet we were the first ones up this morning. And here's why. At 12 a.m., the clock hit 12 a.m., and we heard a, and I jumped up and I said, "What is that?" It wasn't in our room. I said, "What is that?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know what that is." And so I jumped out of bed and stumbled and tried to find my way to where that sound was coming from, and finally made our way to our computer table in the music study, dining room, whatever you want to call it. And I made my way in there and found this. I brought it with me. This was the culprit. This little clock. We keep this clock in our kitchen. Now, I don't know how it made it to our computer table. And I don't know how. I didn't even know it had an alarm. Neither did Allison. And I don't know how it got set to midnight. But somehow this thing was beeping at midnight this morning. And it was a wake-up call. It was an unpleasant wake-up call. Way too early. Maybe you had a wake-up call this morning. Maybe you just naturally wake up. I don't know. But, and you know, sometimes we use that term, wake-up call, in a lot more serious ways, don't we? Sometimes we use that term because our sin is heading us for destruction. And sin is so serious. I'm always reminded of the seriousness of sin to God. Just when Jesus would speak about it, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better for you to enter life maimed than have both eyes and be in hell. You know, and I know Jesus is not literally saying, go cut your hand off if you just sin. But I believe that He's telling us the severity of sin to God. How serious it is. The smallest little thing that you may think, it's just a little sin. No, it's not. Sin is serious. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn for our sin. That's the path that it leads to. That's the end result. If you take any sin and you carry it to its ultimate conclusion, that's the way it ends, in death. The soul that sins, it shall die, the Scripture tells us. But thank the Lord, He made a way out. Thank the Lord for what He did. Thank the Lord for Jesus. But sometimes sin is heading you or somebody you love in an area, in a way of destruction. And then sometimes something will happen. Something will happen. And all of a sudden, we speak of it as a wake-up call. And maybe something really bad happens to you or to that person. And then we step back and we see our sin for what it is, and we say, whoa, whew, thank the Lord, I'm still alive, but you know, I had a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call. And sometimes we use the term that way, in a more serious manner, that we needed a wake-up call when we experience a close call. Well, you and I have been praying. If you were here last week, you got a card like that. And you and I have been praying for basically a wake-up call. Of course, you always have to start with yourself. You always have to start with yourself and say, Lord, do I need a wake-up call? Let me pray for myself first. I can't help anybody else unless I'm helping myself first. And so, of course, you start with yourself. You say, Lord, do I need a wake-up call? But then you've been praying all week. If you got one of these cards, you've been praying for a wake-up call for all these different areas, for your family and friends. Is there anybody you know that needs a wake-up call spiritually? Spiritually, they need a wake-up call. Or maybe you do. Family, friends. And then we went on from there in these different areas. Well, we're praying for a wake-up call. Here's another word for it. Spiritual awakening. You ever heard that term before? We use that term all over the place in Christendom, don't we? We need a spiritual awakening, but that's what we're talking about, a wake-up call. We need a spiritual awakening. Maybe you're saying this morning, I need a spiritual awakening myself. Or maybe you're thinking of a family or a friend or a loved one that needs a spiritual awakening, a wake-up call. Well, let's look at what God says in Revelation chapter 3. Turn there with me. If you're new at this, last book in the Bible. Nice and simple. Revelation chapter 3. Let's look at what Jesus said here in these first three verses. Revelation chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. There's God giving us a wake-up call. There's God's wake-up call to this church saying, wake up! Here's who you are. Here's what you've been doing, or the lack of what you've been doing. And wake up! Wake up! Remember what you've heard and seen and obey it and repent. Wake up! Is God saying that to you this morning? Or are there others around you? You know, God, that's the message for them. Wake up! Well, what do we learn from this? First of all, the first thing you can take away from it, and I can take away from it personally, is what does God say about you? Here's what He said about this church. But let me ask you that question. What does God say about you? When God evaluates you, what's His evaluation of you? When He looks at you, what does God say? I want you to think for a minute. Think of a scale with me. We'll say right here, this is dead. This is completely spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And then we'll say that there's an imaginary line that walks this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then 10 right here on this end of the line. This is alive. This is awake to God. Spiritually alive to God. And here's the question for you, and here's the question for me. What does God say about you? Where do you think God would put you on that line from 1 dead, 10 to alive and awake to Him? You just think of that number. Where do you think God would have you? What number would He give you? What number's coming to your mind? You don't have to shout it out. Just think about it. Now, okay, great, that's what you think. But now, I want you to bow your head for a second. And I want you to pray with me. And now, you ask Him. Ask Him. God, you may pray this in your own mind, in your own heart. God, where do you think I am on that scale from 1 to 10? Just ask Him. All right. Now, another thing to think about here is if we notice in the second part of verse 1,
Jesus said, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." So this church had a reputation. In other words, everybody who looked at the church thought it was alive, a great living church. But God really said, "But you are dead. You have a reputation of being alive." Apply that to yourself. Think about yourself for a minute. I don't know what number God just gave you between your own thinking and then when you prayed and asked Him. But think about that for a minute. Do you have a reputation of being alive or more alive than you are? But are you dead? In other words, are you a hypocrite? Are you a hypocrite? In other words, are you thinking... the word hypocrite, it actually... I don't want to scare anybody here. Children, turn your eyes. Don't look. But in other words... Are you wearing a mask? That's what a hypocrite is. That's what the word means. It's a mask. It's here's who I really am. Or actually, this is Christian's mask. So for the last 4 or 5 days, you'll be sitting somewhere in the house and you'll see Christian come around the corner with this thing on, this crown, and it just freaks you out, and he'll scream at you, and you'll be scared to death. But what a mask does is, here's who I am, this is me, but I put that on and it's a mask. It's not true. It's who I want you to think I am. It's what you see, but it's not really who I am. That's what it means to be hypocritical. That's what it means to be a hypocrite. And so the question for you is, do people think one way about you, but it's really not true? Are you wearing a mask in your life, or do you wear many masks at different times, or do you become different people at different times when you're with different people? Do you have different masks on? Or with you, is what you see is what you get. There's no mask, there's no nothing. This is me. Here I am. Or maybe that's you. Now, we even learn from Shakespeare, be true to thyself. Be true to thyself. God made you who you are, and you are unique, just like you have your own fingerprint, and there's not one like it. There's not one person like you, and God made you exactly how you are and who you are, because that's beautiful, and that's incredible, and that's awesome, and that's His creation, and you don't have anything to do with it. That's just, you're His creation. You're His masterpiece. And you need to not wear any masks. You need to be who God created, because that's what the world needs. He made you for a reason. What would God say about you? Well, that's who you are. What about what you do? Here's the second thing. Have you done what He's told you? So first of all, learn from this passage. What does God say about you? Hear His evaluation of you. Second, have you done what He's told you? We see that in the text here. Look at the second part of verse 2. Speaking to this church, Jesus says, "Strengthen, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." Have you done what He's told you? What about you? What about you? Do you do on a regular basis? Do you do what He tells you? I want to share that scale with you one more time. Here's, I have not done what He's told me to do. Starting in zero. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've done everything I know that He's told me to do. I'm doing what He tells me to do, the best I can. Where do you think you are on that scale? What number do you think? Have you done what He's told you? What? Give yourself a number. Bow your head. Shut your eyes. And you ask Him, "Lord, have I done what You told me to do?
What number am I? Where am I on that scale? Let Him give that to you. All right. So the question for you, is there anything left undone like this church? The deeds were not complete. There's something undone. Is there anything left undone in your life? Is there anything undone? You think about it. Just in that same spirit of prayer, just kind of think through the day. Think through mornings and ask that question. Lord, have I done what You told me to do? In your mornings, you just think about that. Maybe shut your eyes again. Around lunchtime, Lord, have I done what You told me to do? In the evenings, Lord, do I do what You tell me to do? Have I done what You told me to do? You see, right here, we've got to watch out for a few things. We've got to watch out for partial obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. We've got to watch out for that. Look at King Saul with the Amalekites. He lost his kingship over the Amalekites. God told him to wipe out this enemy. And he pretty much did, but he kept a few of the best sheep and goats and things. A few of the best animals. And he lost his king. He wasn't allowed to be king anymore after he did not obey the Lord. He partially obeyed the Lord. Watch out for partial obedience. Have you obeyed the Lord? Are you doing what He told you to do? And you would say, well, for the most part, partial obedience is disobedience. Watch out for it. Watch out for delayed obedience. Watch out. Delayed obedience is disobedience. What if I told one of my children, go and clean up your room? And then about 3 hours later, I said, have you cleaned your room yet? No. I'm still going to do it. And then nighttime came, and I kind of wanted the room clean throughout the day or whatever. Nighttime comes, and have you cleaned your room yet? No, I'll do it right before. How would I feel? How would you feel? That's disobedience, isn't it? Watch out. Are you delaying what God's told you to do? Watch out for delayed obedience. Watch out for disobedience, period. Disobedience can disguise itself. It can be pretty hard to detect sometimes. Disobedience, because you might be doing a lot of good things. You might be doing a lot of great things. But if you're not doing what the Lord told you to do, it's disobedience. How's that play out? Well, what if being a Christian, what if I grabbed John Allen and I said, John, we need to go visit our neighbor. You know, I think she's sick. Come on, I want you to come with me. Let's go. And then he said, well, I'll be there in just a minute. And so I went and I waited by the door and then I looked and he was back there cleaning his room. And I thought, okay. And I waited and I waited. And about 45 minutes later, he came back out and he said, Okay, what did you want to do? And I said, yeah, well, now the time is gone. We can't do it anymore. I wanted to go visit the neighbor. What have you been doing? Well, I've been cleaning my room. I know you love me to clean my room. You want me to clean my room. You always tell me, clean your room. I just cleaned it. Would I be happy? No. He would be in trouble. And he was doing what I want him to do, what I like him to do. But do you see it? Watch out for subtle disobedience. Maybe you're doing a good thing. Maybe you're doing a lot of good things. But did the Lord tell you to do it? Or did He tell you to do something else? And you're off saying, well, I'm doing all this stuff for the Lord. I'm doing it for Jesus. Well, no, Jesus is over here waiting on you saying, this is what I've told you to do. What are you doing? Watch out for disobedience. And finally, wake up and get busy. Here's the answer. Wake up and get busy. We see this in verse 2 and 3. I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Well, right before that, verse 2. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, here's what to do. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Wake up and get busy. That's the answer.
Here's why it's a wake-up call for you. Why is it a wake-up call? Because God says here that it's about to die. Strengthen what remains. Why do you need to wake up? Because what remains is about to die. So you need to wake up. Hear that wake-up call because it's about to die. What is? What remains? What the thing that remains that is about to die. What does He say to do? Strengthen it. Whatever that is that remains, strengthen it. How do you do that? How? How do I strengthen what remains? You remember. That's His answer here, right? You remember. What do you remember? Remember what you have received from the Lord. And then remember what you have heard from the Lord. Bow your head and shut your eyes. What have you received from the Lord? Think about that in a spirit of prayer. Ask Him. Lord, what have I received from You? I want to remember. I want to get this right. Bring to my mind what I have received from You, Lord. Remember. And now keep your heads bowed, your eyes shut. Now, what have you heard from the Lord? Ask Him. Lord, I want to remember. What have I heard from You? And now, obey it. That's what He says. Obey it and repent. Okay, you can come back now. Obey it and repent. Whatever He just gave you, obey it and repent. That's waking up and getting busy. Obey it and repent. Now, there's three different things here, three different applications. First of all, well, what about the overall picture? What about the overall picture? What does God say about you? Have you done what He's told you? Wake up and get busy. Have you done what He's told you? Well, overall, the overall picture, if you are a Christian, we know what He's told us. Maybe you're searching today saying, well, I don't know what He's telling me. Well, we all as Christians have the overall picture of what He's told us. What has He told you? If you are a believer, He has told you to love Him. Here's some main things. He's told you to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, with all that you are. To be head over heels in love with Jesus. He's told you that above everything. That's your greatest commandment. He's told you that. Love Me with all that you are. And then He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then do that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then third, He's given you as a believer a commission. He's given it to all of us, the church. But we all make up the church. So it's your commission. It's our commission. He told you before He ascended to heaven, here's what He said you need to be doing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself and make disciples. Make disciples. Help other people know Me. Help other people follow Jesus. That's why you're here on the earth. That's why you are now a believer. That's what I'm using you for. I want you to make disciples. And Jesus said it in Matthew 28 before He ascended to heaven. Go, therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So, real short and simple, love God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself and be making disciples. Well, that's what He's told you to do. That's what He's told every one of us to do. So there it is. There's the overall picture. Now, that's kind of the skeleton. Now, you've got to seek out. You've got to find out your shape. You've got to find out the meat and the muscles and that you put on that skeleton. How do you fit into that big picture? Well, God's given every one of you and myself a shape. That's what I like to call it. You see it in a number of different studies that you'll do. But let that stand for S-H-A-P-E. The S stands for spiritual gifts. God has given you, as an individual believer, at least one spiritual gift. Or even a set of spiritual gifts. So, what are your spiritual gifts? And then, God has also given the H stands for heart. He's given you a heart for something. There are certain things that you are passionate about that other people could care less about. But you love it. You love it. He's given you a heart for certain things. What is it? What is He giving you a heart for? That's the H. The A stands for abilities. Well, what abilities has He given you? What talents has He given you? What are you good at? What do you excel at? Well, that's from Him. Those are His gifts that He's given you. What are those abilities and those skills? That's the A. What about your personality? That's the P. And then you've got this certain unique personality that He gave you. And then the E stands for experiences. He's given you a certain set of life's experiences. Maybe you have a testimony. Maybe you've been through something. Maybe you've been through a divorce or something, and there's a lot of young couples that are struggling, and God could use you to really minister to them in certain ways. I don't know what it is. I'm just making stuff up as I go along. Maybe you've struggled with alcohol, and Jesus has set you free, and you can help. I don't know what it is, but you have a certain set of experiences, and that's your E. So you've got your shape. All those things make up who God has made you. That's who He's made you. But remember the overall thing. So He wants you to love Him with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make disciples all around you. And use your shape. And then how do you do it? You use your shape. You find out who you are, how He's made and designed you, what He wants you doing. And you seek Him out, of course, above it all. He'll show you all that. And then you obey it. And then you do it. And you know what happens? And then all of a sudden new ministries are created. All of a sudden there's a motorcycle ministry that pops out. Or there's a, I don't know. That's for Him to show you. But all of a sudden there's new ministries. There's new things. And then all of a sudden, maybe there's certain places that there's already ministries going on, and you realize, well, that's where I fit. That's where I need to serve. That's where I plug in. And so you find that out, and that's more specifically what He has told you to do. And then finally, I'll end with this. I'll leave us with this. Here's something that we can all do. What is He telling you to do? Well, here's something right now. All of us here at Highland Avenue Baptist Church, every one of us needs to be connected to a Bible study group. That's our small group. That's where, this is great, we worship together, fantastic, but you need to be in a small group where you get together at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning and you have other believers that you can talk, and you can talk, and you can share your life with them. And you all can do life together and be praying together. So I hope you're a part of a Bible study group. And if not, your name may have already been given to one. They're probably after you to get you in that group. But be a part of a Bible study group. Use those gifts. Use your shape within your Bible study group. Hear God's wake-up call. And as you have been praying all this week, we've been praying, God, wake us up spiritually. Continue to have Him, ask Him to wake you up spiritually. Maybe this message, maybe He's waking you up right now spiritually. Well, all this week, you be praying on Sunday, next Sunday. Who will you awaken? That's the call of next Sunday. And we know none of us can awaken anybody spiritually, but God will use us to awaken others spiritually. And so that's the question. Who will you awaken this coming Sunday? At 8:30, we're going to have a breakfast in the fellowship hall. And then at 9, we're going to have our Bible study. And just let those words ring out for next Sunday. Who will you awaken? What is God telling you to do? You pray for yourself. You get spiritually awoken. You talk to the Lord. And then ask Him all week, Lord, show me people, acquaintances, people I run into, family members that need spiritual awakening, friends that need spiritual awakening. And you pray about them. And if you're a part of a Bible study group, you talk to your Bible study leader and you get that Bible study role with them and you pray through those people. You pray for them this week. And you ask the Lord, Lord, who needs spiritual awakening out of all these people? That's not a role. That's not a piece of paper with a bunch of names on it. Those are a bunch of people all right there. And you pray for them along with your Bible study leader and your Bible study group. And then prospects, people that you know about, and you know they need spiritual awakening. Maybe your Bible study group has a prospect list, and you be praying for them. And then put feet to it. Put feet to it. This week, as you pray and as the Lord leads you, you invite. You extend that invitation. Don't invite them to church. They might come at 10:15. You invite them to 8:30 to a breakfast.
You invite them to breakfast at 8:30 and then Bible study at 9. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, thank You that You want us awake. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Lord, for the times that we have been spiritually sleeping, for the times that we have been lagging and not doing what You told us to do, for the times that we have been dead and not alive to You, Lord, not seeing You work around us, forgive us. And Lord, we ask this morning that You would start with each one of us and that You would wake us up and get us busy, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning and they know that the wake-up call they need is to come to You, Jesus, they know they don't have a relationship with You, and they need Your forgiveness and Your salvation. Lord, would You help them right now to wake up, to call out to You and say, Jesus, save me from my sins. I need You. Come into my life. And Lord, would You move them to walk down that aisle and to share that with me and with us. Lord, maybe somebody is being woken up by You, and the thing that You've been telling them to do is to join this church. Lord, help them. Help them to obey it and repent and just step out and stop delaying to walk down that aisle to join this church, Lord. Maybe somebody needs to be baptized. Whatever it is, Lord, maybe there's a different decision. Maybe there's something else that somebody hasn't been doing and You've been asking them to. Lord, help them to decide right now to obey, to remember, and obey and repent. Lord, as Chris leads us, we pray that You would move among us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Chris leads us, you come if the Lord's calling you.